As Matt said, the reading is in two parts today, verses 1 to 19 of Daniel 7. Daniel 9, verses 1 to 19. And it starts on page 895 of the Church Bible. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, we and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favour on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name.
Thank you, Rob, for reading that, and also for how you read that. I appreciated that. Thank you. Good morning, Christchurch Huntingdon, and anyone else who I haven't met as well, any visitors. As you heard, we're looking at Daniel 9 today. I should say who I am first. I'm Matt Pluke. But we're looking at Daniel 9. Up to now, we've looked at Daniel 1 to 8, and I, for one, have found studying Daniel, the book, and studying Daniel, the character, fantastic. It's really, really helped me. So I hope this helps today as well. But before we start, I want to remind you of the two words, not my 80s indulgent music, but the two words that Charlie uses to summarize the book of Daniel: heaven rules. And we've seen in the previous chapters, before we get on to 9 today, examples of how people believe and behave in a way which reflects that truth, that heaven, God, rules. Unfortunately, we've also seen some examples of people who behave and believe that heaven doesn't rule. So we think about, first of all, God's people, the Israelites. They had turned their back on God, and that's why they are now in captivity in Babylon. God had let them be taken into captivity. And another example of someone who didn't believe or behave in a way that recognized that heaven rules was King Nebuchadnezzar. So he thought he ruled, didn't he? But we've seen through history and through the Bible that he didn't and doesn't. Thankfully, there's also some characters who show us and recognize that heaven does rule. So Daniel and his friends, and we've seen how God blessed his friends and Daniel as well in terms of rescuing him from the lions and giving him the ability to interpret dreams and visions. So that's where we've been. Now on to chapter 9. And I've broken it into two parts because there's quite a bit for us to get through today, and particularly the second part, actually not this first part, is quite cryptic, so I've tried to make it a bit more manageable, and actually I've kept the talk quite simple. There's just two parts to the talk, so if we can have those on the screen. So the first part is Daniel prays. So that's what we've just heard, Daniel prays. The second part we'll come to is we hear God's answer. So really quite simple, Daniel prays, God answers. But what a prayer and what an answer. So we'll get into that. On the theme of keeping it simple, let's open our Bibles and get to verse 4 if you can. Because that summarizes, verse 4 summarizes a lot of what Rob read for us in Daniel's prayer. And we're going to use this later, actually, in confession. So verse 4, this is what it says. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. So in those verses, you see that God is a great and awesome and loving God. We also see that he makes and keeps covenants of love or promises with people. But unfortunately, we also see that those people then, just like now, have chosen to disobey and ignore him. So that's quite a good summary of the prayer that follows, that heart-wrenching prayer that follows, which highlights just how far short of God's expectations God's people have fallen. When we confess our sins, I find it a fantastic blessing, actually, as tough as it can be, but what a blessing it is to be able to confess our sins and to know that thanks to Jesus, we can have that weight lifted off us, to know that we are forgiven, more forgiven and more loved than we could possibly imagine. And I pray that that's how you feel when we get to the confession later on. But before we do that, let's get to set the scene for Daniel 9. The Israelites have been in exile now for about 70 years. Daniel is probably in his 80s now, and that unconquerable empire, the Babylonians, have just fallen to the Medo-Persian Empire. So that's where we are in terms of the context. So, Daniel 9, verse 2, take a look at that. What do we see that Daniel has been doing? We see that he's been reading scripture. He's been reading his Bible. So Daniel has been studying the book of Jeremiah. So all the way back then, Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah. And we've got it here today. And I find it mind-blowing that we can turn to those same passages. And actually, I'm going to get us to do that. Page 790 in your Bible, is that just as Daniel did all those years ago, we can turn to the same scripture. Let's find that, 790. And let's take a look at, chapter 29, hopefully, if I've got it right. Yep, chapter 29, 790, 10 to 14. I mean, isn't this incredible? Here we are in Huntingdon reading the same words that Daniel would have read all those years ago. And what we're going to read is what the Lord says as it starts through Jeremiah. So let me read that to us. And hopefully that can come up on the screen as well. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. So, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. So that's what Daniel would have been reading. So, having read those verses, what does Daniel do? Well, we've seen in previous chapters what an amazing man of God Daniel is. And so he does exactly what it says in these passages. He calls on God and seeks God in prayer with all of his heart. So that's what Daniel does in response to reading that. And I'm convinced that what was true then is true now. If we seek God, if we call on God with all of our heart, he will find us. We will find him. And hopefully we'll discover, as it says there, the plans that he has for us, the plans to give us a hope and a future, and ultimately to rescue us from whoever or whatever is holding us captive. Verse 3, if you've got... Oh, sorry, I've got to get you back to Daniel. Are we still in Jeremiah? So back to Daniel. What page was that? That was 895. Thank you. Back to Daniel, 895. So verse 3, we see that Daniel, after reading his Bible, he comes to prayer wearing sackcloth and with ashes. And so he's wearing this uncomfortable item of clothing and covering himself with ashes. And I understand that, you know, to mean that he recognizes in all humility that we are nothing but dust, ashes, unless and until God breathes his life into us. So in this prayer, Daniel is putting his heart, his soul, and even his body into this prayer of confession. So we read a little bit of Jeremiah then, but in preparation for this talk, I've been reading through Jeremiah just to better understand the context. And if you were to turn to Jeremiah 7, it would help to see why this is such a heartfelt prayer of confession is we read in Jeremiah 7 how the God's people have turned away from him. They are worshipping other gods, the gods around them. And they've even set up idols to those gods in the places where they originally were worshipping God. And then, on top of that, they are sacrificing their children on altars of fire. I mean, it is no wonder that this is such a heart-wrenching prayer of confession. I'm only going to make 2 points on Daniel's prayer. And I've just made the first one, actually, which is that Daniel's prayer is informed by God's word. So Daniel came to prayer with a Bible in one hand. So his prayer was informed by God's word. We know, don't we, that all scripture is God-breathed. And so coming to prayer without having read what is already in the Bible, to me, is like having a one-sided conversation or coming to a conversation halfway through. So that's, I think, a fantastic lesson for us to take away, is to come to prayer with our Bible as well. So that's the first point. The second point is that his prayer is informed by God's character. So if we can have that one up as well. So the prayer, I think, is informed by God's character. And why do I say that? Take a look at your Bibles again, please. Verse 4, for example, this is what Daniel says. He says, Lord, the great and awesome God. Flick down to verse 7. Lord, you are righteous. And now down to verse 9. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Daniel knows that his God, our God, is a loving God who makes and keeps his promises. And that those promises hold incredible blessings for us. But Daniel also knows that there are consequences for not loving and obeying God. In those verses we just read, we read that the Lord is awesome and righteous. See, I believe that if we truly understand God's character, as Daniel did, and if we contrast that with our own, I think that should drive us to our knees in prayer. So that's it. Those are my 2 points on that long prayer of confession. So Daniel's prayer was informed by reading God's word and informed by God's character. And I know those aren't fantastically clever points, but I think they're really, really helpful to remind us that being a Christian is not about being in a religion. It's about being in a relationship with God, with the Creator. And the analogy I thought of when I was thinking about this is in my little world of work is that if I'm going to meet someone who's great and awesome, I make sure I do my homework on them, is that I will read their biography, for example. I'll look them up on LinkedIn to see what it says about them. If they've written something, I'll read something they've written. If something's been written about them, I'll read about them. And why do I do that? I do that because I know that when I meet that individual and we have a conversation, it is going to be so much more meaningful. It's going to be enriched by having done that a little bit of homework. We're going to sing a song in a second, but I got a question for you just before we do. And that's when we heard Rob reading Daniel's prayer to us, did you hear the Lord's Prayer at all in that? Because I did. So I was so pleased that we had the Lord's Prayer earlier. So these are some of the things I picked up. So most obviously, you know, Daniel is asking for forgiveness from our sins. Forgive us our sins and deliver us from evil. So I heard that in there. But I also heard the start of the Lord's Prayer. So, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, Daniel knew from reading Jeremiah, reading God's word, that God's will was freedom from captivity. And so what does Daniel do? He prays for God's will to be done. And then I also saw in Daniel's prayer, which reminded me of the Lord's Prayer, that Daniel doesn't want the behavior of God's people to reflect badly on God. If you've still got Daniel in front of you, so verse 19, take a look at verse 19 where Daniel says, "Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." You see, Daniel's prayer, he's pleading to God to intervene so that his name, God's name, remains holy and greatly respected, hallowed. So Daniel is pleading with his Father in heaven, saying, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So that was what I heard when reading Daniel's prayer. We should get to the song now, so if musicians can come up. And the song we've chosen has echoes of the Lord's Prayer. So let's sing that now. Thank you.
"While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen earlier in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, 'Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens, and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him."
Thanks, Ron. So we've heard Daniel's prayer. Now let's consider God's answer. This is one of the most mind-blowing passages in the Bible, I think. So whilst Daniel is still praying, so whilst he's still in prayer, the angel Gabriel comes flying in with a message from God. And then he relays this vision, which is as cryptic, I think, as it is revealing. It's as cryptic as it's revealing, I think. And just hearing Rob read it again just made my hair stand on end. So why was I feeling like that? Well, it's because the angel Gabriel, sent by God, comes to say that a Messiah is coming, the anointed one, a Messiah is coming. He goes on to say that that Messiah will be put to death. He even gives a time scale for the coming of the Messiah and the death of the Messiah. And then look at, if you've got your Bibles, look at verse 24, where Gabriel says what the result of this will be. It says, sin will be brought to an end, the guilty will be reconciled, and there will be everlasting righteousness. So there's some things, a lot of things I can't get my head around in this passage, if I'm honest. But I am in no doubt that this passage is pointing us towards Jesus. God's answer to Daniel was to point him towards Jesus. See, I believe this is a prophecy about Jesus coming to earth to die for our sins and to restore our relationship with God forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. I mean, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And what I love about reading God's answer is that, what I love about God's answer is that Daniel had been reading in Jeremiah 29 that God had plans to give him and his people a hope and a future. And then God reveals in the most incredible way that Jesus is his ultimate hope and future, our ultimate hope and future. So I'm convinced that this is a prophecy about Jesus, but we have the benefit of the New Testament and then seeing how history has played out since Daniel's prayer. But I wondered whether I thought that Daniel understood this vision. Did Daniel understood this mind-blowing vision? And then I realized, of course he did. This is Daniel we're talking about. This is Daniel, the man of God, who God has given him the ability to interpret dreams and visions. So I think he understood this much, much better than I did. And if you look in verse 22, what does Gabriel say to Daniel? He says, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. So I think Daniel understood this passage was pointing him, us, towards Jesus. So to be honest, that's where I'd love to leave my talk, because I think that's all we need to know about God's answer to Daniel, God's answer to us, is God points to Jesus. There's our answer right there. If I did stop, I think I'd be ducking some really reasonable questions, unfortunately. Now, I don't have the ability, and I don't think we have the time for me to try and unpack this and answer all the questions. But I'm just going to pick on two questions that I had when reading this passage. So one is, what timescales, what are those timescales that Gabriel is talking about when he says 70 weeks? What is he talking about when he says 70 weeks? In verse 24 there. And then if you look in verses 25 to 27, Gabriel then goes on to break that 70 weeks into three separate periods. 7 weeks, followed by 42 weeks, followed by 1 week. Now, there is not consensus. I've read a huge amount about this. There's not consensus on the exact maths behind these 70 weeks. But what I think is the key to understanding or getting an understanding of this is that in ancient Hebrew, that term weeks is better understood as units of seven or times seven. So when he says 70 weeks, it's 70 times seven units, years, 70 times 7 years, 490 years. So that's what many of the commentators will tell you, is that 70 weeks is 490 years. And we know, verse 25, take a look at that 490 years starts from when the time, what does it say? So the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, okay? So if we know when the kings of Persia gave permission to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, if we then add on that 7 plus 62 weeks, that first two of those time periods, the 483 years, after that is when Gabriel says, verse 26, if you're following, it says, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. So after these 483 years, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. If you do that maths from when they were said they could go back to Jerusalem and do 483 years, you get to when Jesus came and when he died on a cross. That's a spine-tingling alignment with what we know happened. But then again, some commentators say that this is apocalyptic literature. The numbers are purely symbolic. So personally, I'm quite excited about, you know, that we might be able to match the timescales to Jesus' first coming, his death on the cross, and possibly the destruction of the temple in AD 70 and maybe even his second coming. But actually, I am totally comfortable with applying the words that Jesus said to his disciples, where he says, it's not for you, it's not for me to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. I'm happy to do that maths, but then simply live my life in a state of readiness for his certain return whenever it does come. So that's how I deal with that first question. The second question I had when looking at this passage was, why didn't God, through Daniel, through angel Gabriel, why didn't he directly answer Daniel's prayer and confirm that, yep, 70 years is up and, you know, exile's over, you can head back into Jerusalem, I've answered your prayer. Why didn't you get a direct answer like that? We aren't told why that direct answer didn't come. So the truth is, I don't know, but I'll tell you why I think he didn't get a direct answer. And that's because of Daniel's relationship with God, that covenant of love between Daniel and God, is that Daniel had already read in Jeremiah, as we've just seen, that after 70 years, the exile will come to an end. He didn't need to wait to hear God say it again. He'd read it in the Bible. Daniel was a man of God who took God at his word. He had absolute faith that, you know, God's promises could be trusted. So that's a lesson for us, isn't it? I think that, you know, God's answer for Daniel was already there in the scriptures, and God's answer to our prayers, whatever they were, whatever they're going to be, is already there in the Bible. We, Daniel, all he had to do was to seek him with all of his heart and then to call out to him in prayer and pray that his will be done. So that's it. That's all I've got to say on a tough, tricky second half. But equally, even based on what I said, if your head isn't spinning at the end of that, then I have failed to convey the enormity of what we've just studied together. But equally, if your head is spinning, go back to what I said at the start, is that if nothing else, let's be encouraged to pray to God with our Bible in one hand and then to listen to God through that prayer, through the Bible, and to hear, as in Jeremiah, the plans that he has for us, the plans not to harm us, the plans to prosper us, the plans to give us an ultimate hope and a future, and to rescue us from whoever or whatever is holding us captive. My conclusion is, thank God that heaven does rule. So that's it. I will stop. So, musicians, if we can have you up again, we're going to sing to our almighty, amazing God.